Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ian Begley from ESPN. Ian, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
What's happening, fellas? That intro music got me fired up.
I know. We're pretty fired up, too. We'd be more fired up if LeBron re-signs in Cleveland. I know Shaq told you he thinks LeBron should stay in Cleveland, right?
He just said that, you know, he shouldn't chase rings at this point in his career. Shaq kind of reflected on his own career and the idea that, you know, he went to Phoenix and Boston and Cleveland over his last three seasons and was searching for a ring, and it didn't work out, and it seemed like he was regretful of that move, and he doesn't want to see LeBron take the same path. So I guess, yeah, that would mean re-signing with the Cavs. I just thought it was interesting to see a legend like that so reflective on some mistakes he thinks he made.
Do you think that LeBron, if he does leave, will be criticized for like Shaq says, chasing the rings? And in like, if he doesn't get another ring and he does leave, does that hurt his legacy?
I think it's part of the conversation. You know, I don't think it helps the legacy if he leaves in search of another ring and doesn't get it. But I think, you know, so much of his legacy, in my mind at least, has been already cemented, and Shaq mentioned this, with what he's done already. You can't take away the titles in Miami. You can't take away the title that he brought to your city. So, you know, so much of what we talk about with LeBron and his legacy, it has already happened. Certainly, the decision he makes this summer and the decisions he makes going forward are going to impact it, but I don't think it's to a great deal as we might think it is today.
I think the only way he's going to get harshly criticized to me, Ian, is if he went to, you know, Boston maybe or Houston. Like, I feel like if he goes to the Lakers or Philly or another random team maybe, I don't think there'll be any criticism at all outside of, you know, fans here.
I hear you. With that L.A. situation, it's interesting because I would think that the only way it's a lock for him to go there is if they do acquire, you know, another all-NBA player between now and whenever LeBron decides to make that decision. If they're able to get Kawhi or secure a commitment from a Paul George, then I think that makes the Lakers a much more palatable situation. You know, but outside of that, I agree with you. Unless he goes to a team that's already established, like a Houston or a Boston, I don't think there's any way to really rip the move and paint it as him chasing a ring. So it's just going to be fascinating to see how things do unfold over the first few days in July.
I think it's the best team they could put together in Cleveland. Like how do they do it to try and keep LeBron here?
I just think you have to trade for a point guard who can make things easier for everybody on the court, including LeBron. You know, Kemba Walker was dangled by Charlotte before the trade deadline. If you could somehow land a player like him in a trade prior to the draft, shortly after the draft, I certainly think that would impact LeBron's thinking. I don't think there's a player that Cleveland could take in the draft that LeBron says, oh my goodness, I have to play with this guy, I have to re-sign with the Cavs. But I think there are players available via the trade market that would really entice LeBron to stick around.
Well, what do you do, Ian? Like, you know, if you make a trade this week before LeBron's made his decision, let's say the Cavs trade for Kemba Walker, because that's been one of the names out there, right? Kemba Walker's a free agent at the end of the year. Let's say you trade the eighth pick in the draft for Kemba Walker, and then LeBron leaves, and now you're sitting with Kevin Love and 1 year of Kemba Walker. That's not a situation you want to be in.
No, it's not. And I would think, like, through back channels, Kobe Altman and the Cavs hierarchy are in touch with either LeBron directly or people around LeBron, and they say, hey, listen, we have a chance to get player X. If we get player X, where does that leave us with LeBron come July 1? Let us know. Give us some kind of feedback here before we pull the trigger on this move. So I have to think there are some kind of private conversations that the Cavs would have before making a move of that magnitude.
Hmm. Where do you think ultimately Kawhi Leonard ends up?
The Lakers seem like the obvious destination, but also you have to think about the idea that San Antonio is driving the bus here. And do R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich want to hand Kawhi over to the Lakers and turn them into a very strong contender in the West? Or does it make more sense for them to send him to a Boston Celtic team that they would only have to see twice a year in the regular season and then potentially in the finals? You know, I think it makes a lot more sense to send him east than west. But there are so many factors at play here, because if you're a team that's trading for Kawhi, you are not going to give up the farm unless you have some kind of assertion from right. Kawhi or people around him that he's going to re-sign there. So there's a lot of different factors at play. If you're asking me today where he ends up, I do think it ultimately will be the Los Angeles Lakers.
Ian Begley of ESPN gets to go to the greatest arena in NBA in Madison Square Garden and watch one of the worst teams in the NBA for a very long time, the New York Knicks. You know, I know when the Knicks hired Fizdale, Ian, a lot of my friends back in New York were all like, oh, yeah, the Knicks are going to get LeBron. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? LeBron's not going to that disaster show. Do you think there's any chance at all LeBron goes to New York?
I've had the same reaction that you've had to any of these crazy Knicks fans that bring up the possibility, including some people in the Knicks media
yeah.
bring up the possibility. There is a 0.0 chance that LeBron signs with the Knicks this summer. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Listen, there's an opportunity. I wouldn't be stunned, I should say, if the Knicks get a meeting with LeBron because of his close relationship with David Fizdale and because of Steve Mills and Scott Perry's relationships with people around LeBron. So don't be shocked if he gets a courtesy sit-down to the Knicks. But there's no way he's signing here. Why would he? He's looking to win a title. The Knicks are far, far, far from being in contention for a title, even with LeBron. So there's no way that he even considers seriously signing with the Knicks this summer.
What's the worst New York contract right now? Jacoby Ellsbury or Noah with the Knicks?
Oh, man. You know, I haven't spent a ton of time looking at that Ellsbury contract and the ramifications there, but the Noah deal is tough, man.
Oh, my God.
Phil Jackson leaving the Knicks with a $72 million present. And, you know, I'll say this, though. Joakim Noah, if David Fizdale does decide that he wants to bring Noah back in the fold and he wants him a part of his roster, you know, the guy, as bad as he was and as hurt as he was the first couple of years of his Knicks contract, if he's healthy, he can contribute to you, to what you want to do if you're David Fizdale. So I think they'll take a long, hard look at bringing him back into the fold. But if not, I can easily see them using that stretch provision in September and getting rid of Noah that way. But I think, you know, Joakim is such a bad contract, I would think that he's a worse contract than Jacoby at this point.
Is there any truth to the fact that Kyrie Irving just really wants to be in New York, and that if he could get out of Boston after next season, he could maybe sign with the Knicks?
Well, listen, he put the Knicks on his list of teams that he wanted to be dealt to for a reason. You know, he does see, as far as I know, he does see at this point New York as a potential destination in 2019, and if the Knicks are on his list, you can be sure that they will be very much interested in trying to land Kyrie Irving. But I do think that the Knicks will have a legitimate chance in 2019 unless, you know, something unforeseen happens. Let's say the Celtics win a championship. It's hard to see Kyrie leaving Boston at that point. But let's assume that that doesn't happen and he does test free agency. I believe that the Knicks will have a strong chance at, you know, being among the final teams that he chooses from. And that says a lot about a team that has missed the playoffs for four straight seasons and has struggled as much as it has over the last 20 years, really.
Man, we already were questioning Kyrie's, you know, how important it is to him to win when he wanted to be traded out of here. But if he leaves Boston for the Knicks, he don't care about winning at all.
So I hear you, and I totally get it. And from the way it's kind of been explained to me from people, not Kyrie and not Kyrie's people, but the way it's been explained to me from people around teams and just who kind of know, they say that because of his, you know, he grew up outside of New York, his family has strong affinity for the Knicks, and I think that's part of the reason why he's going to consider New York. And the idea that, hey, listen, if the Knicks, let's say they get this draft pick right, let's say they get the 2019 draft pick right and Kristaps Porzingis is healthy, they have the chance to put together a nice young core around Porzingis and Irving. Not saying that that team would compete for a title, but, you know, there's a chance there where if they get this thing right and you add Kyrie Irving to the mix, the Knicks could be back as a perennial playoff team. And, you know, I think that's something that Kyrie, that maybe appeals to Kyrie.
Yeah.
That he would be the guy to help turn it around.
I don't know, Ian. I'm from New York, too, but I'm not going to New York for a worse job. I'll tell you that. I, you know, as my, I love New York. That's where I'm born and raised. But and he's from Jersey anyway. Let him go. He should be playing for the Nets. I know they're not in Jersey anymore, but, you know. But anyway, we'll see what he does. Getting back to LeBron and the Cavs and, you know, what's going on here. Obviously, until LeBron makes a decision this offseason, it seems like everything else is on hold. But could Kawhi Leonard happen before LeBron?
I think so, because, you know, if LeBron is going to consider the Lakers strongly, I would think he wants to wait to see if they can trade for Kawhi. Or, again, if they could secure some kind of a pledge from another top player. So, yeah, I think, you know, in a perfect world for the Lakers, that Kawhi domino falls first and then LeBron makes his decision. I think, you know, from a free agency perspective, he'll always be the first domino, but there is every possibility that that trade market solidifies around Kawhi before LeBron makes a decision.
You think the Cavs, like, come Friday morning, have a different roster? You know, not just the player they draft on Thursday night, but, like, you think that there'll be moves made this quickly?
I have to think that Kobe Altman's working hard right now to try to put something together to make an impact. You know, and it's not just that draft pick, that first round pick, but it's an additional move, a trade that lands a strong contributor on that Cavs roster. It's just such a tricky position to be in, though, and I feel for the management team over there, just because there's so much uncertainty. And we talked about before, how do you make a potentially franchise altering transaction without knowing what LeBron is going to do? So certainly not an easy position for Kobe Altman and those guys to be in. I don't envy them. I'll just say that.
Ian, do you think, a lot of people have suggested the NBA is broken right now because, you know, how dominant the Warriors are. Are you in that camp or no?
I disagree, but I think if you're a fan who kind of just tunes in for the big games and you're just tuning in for, you know, big playoff games in the finals, I could see that sentiment. I think I lose that perspective as somebody who's watching the league night in and night out and seeing the great teams that are outside of San Francisco competing. But I do totally understand that sentiment. You know, too much of anything is a bad thing, and I think we've reached that point for the non-serious NBA fan with the Golden State Warriors.
All right, you think the Warriors are going to win again next year?
Absolutely.
Who can stop them? Who can stop them?
Exactly.
Hopefully the Cavs can put something together.
Ian, we appreciate an ankle injury for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's true. There we go. That could. That's what it's going to take. Ian, thanks,
Ian, thanks, man.
You got it, guys. Take
All right.
care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.